It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the Racing Boys studio here in lovely Kansas City, Missouri. Kirk Elliott is going to sit in with us today. It's Monday, a lot to talk about. Austin O'Neill, the producer extraordinaire, helping us out here as well. Got a good show lined up for you. We are going to talk today. We are not going to have a guest on today. And at some point during this week, we are going to have Aaron Reitzel on the show with us. He was the winner of the 360 Nationals this last Saturday night. So we'll talk to him later on this week, as well as many other drivers. Kirk, how are you doing, my friend? You doing all right?
I'm doing good, man. What a weekend of racing. Wow.
What a weekend of racing. Let's start off talking about the ASCS 360 Nationals, Kirk. Aaron Reitzel picks up the win. Sunnyvale Sam, he comes home second. Clint Gardner is third. What did you think of that race?
I thought Sam had a shot at Reitzel. Yeah, I mean, once Reitzel got out front, he's going to be hard to pass. There was no yellow flags in that race. And Sam was just picking it away lap by lap. I just think he ran out of laps there. But
I do too.
I'll tell you, you give him three or four more laps there, Reitzel had his hands full with that 15H car.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it, to be fair, you know, it's Sam, Austin, would you agree with me? It seems like Sam's car came on late in that race. It didn't seem like it had what it took to get up towards the front early in the race. But late in the race, it felt like Sam's car came to him a little bit. Would you say so?
Yeah, I mean, look, he started seventh.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first handful of laps, he was, you know, fifth. Actually, kind of was about where he started. You know, he let Gio get by, and he lost a little time to McCarl, and then, you know, there's a gap between McCarl and the first, you know, four or five cars. So, you know, it didn't take him, you know, it took him the first 10 laps to get to fifth. So,
right.
You know, at that point, you know, Reitzel's over, you know, a straightaway plus, you know, on, you know, where Sam's at on the track. So, yeah, with no yellows, it took him too long. Or it took too long to get his car good, and when it got really good, you know, he had 10 laps or, you know, 8 laps left in the race, and he just couldn't get there.
You think of how many more laps do you think it would have taken for Sam to catch Aaron Reitzel? And a follow-up question to that, if he would have caught him, do you think he could have passed him? Because Reitzel could have made his car real wide. What do you guys think?
I think he probably needed to just, you know, 3 to 5 laps is what,
right.
maybe 3, you know, it's just, you know, he cut down, I can't remember how big of a lead he had, but it was probably, you know, it was over a second or so, and he cut it down to car lengths.
It might have been over 2 seconds.
It was quite a bit of it, but then he cut it down to car lengths, so, you know, it showed that he had speed to get to him. It's just, you know, you just had to make the move at the right time, so you weren't like Donnie Schatz last night.
Mm-hmm.
Show Logan Schuyler at the bottom and have them, you know, take the air off your nose going down in the next corner and pretty much just, you know, riding your chances of winning the race, you know, out. So,
yeah,
you know, it's just, if he had to, you know, get a big run built up and then make the most of it and get by him and not make a mistake and show Aaron where he needs to be.
Right.
Yeah, I think Alston's right. I mean, Donnie Schatz in the post-race last night, and here's a guy that's probably had more success than anybody at Knoxville, says it's harder to pass now than it's ever been because he says the track is different than it was even 5 years ago.
I don't know what
they've done to make it any different. Do you, Austin?
All I can think of is if you look at, you know, what the track looked like for hot laps Saturday and Sunday night for the 360 Nationals and the Capitani. It was super heavy for hot laps. You know, they spent a long time, I felt like, wheel packing and trying to get it ran in and widened out after hot laps so qualifying would be good.
And it was a little greasy on the bottom as well.
Yeah. And we kind of saw that in the prelim nights, but it was, you know, a little more effective, you know, those past two nights. And I don't know you know, Saturday, I don't know if they try to compensate for the heat and really, you know, really overwater it and get a lot of water in it, knowing you're going to have a lot of racing on it.
Yeah.
You know, and your, you know, consolation races. But really, those races didn't affect the track that much. So I think they just had so much water in it that...
Just too heavy in the beginning.
Yeah, it was just too heavy. And, you know, they lost a lot of time on the track. They lost qualifying and they lost heat racing. So, you know, and, you know, it's, let's see, it's 7-lap heat races or 8 laps. So they probably lost 40 laps on the track, 50 laps on the track.
And there's
just in heat racing.
There's nothing more disappointing if you're starting in the back and you're using passing points, right? There's nothing more frustrating than starting in the back of a heat race when the track is really heavy and narrow like that. It's the most frustrating thing for a driver, right?
It is, and especially, you know, not even a heat race. Just look at the B and the C and, like, even the D on Saturday of...
Right.
A lot of good cars were scattered, you know, outside the top 10, and they just... They needed something big to happen, like we saw in the D main, so they even have a chance to get into a transfer spot. So, yeah, it's really disappointing and frustrating as a driver when you see a track surface like that given to you.
Yeah.
You know, it's out of your control. You're just stuck with what you have, and you got to make the most of it. But, yeah, it was just, you know, not really what we expected. I don't think anybody else expected it either. I mean, if you ask Brown would have said what we said and would have expected it to get, you know, wide and slick with a curb and seen, you know, maybe some, you know, two-lane racing. But, you know, it was, you know, still a good race. You know, it's just, you know, when you have your hard charger only pass 5 cars, it's just shows what kind of track you have.
Kirk's got a giddy looking look on his face. You don't see this look on his face very often. What do you want to say?
I have to admit this, Scott.
Right.
Yeah, of course, a lot of people saw it Saturday night, but I had a wreck of my own.
You had a wreck?
And I can attest to the fact that they put more water on this racetrack than they normally do.
You know,
I made the big mistake on Saturday night of trying to cross the racetrack into the infield right after they put the water on and before they wheel packed it. And
I
went down not once but twice trying to get across the racetrack.
So you had to go back to the motorhome and change?
No, I hadn't been to the motorhome yet, so I had to change clothes in my car not far away. I had to change clothes after that.
Did anybody see you go down, Kirk?
Oh, yeah, everybody saw me go down.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was not good.
Yeah, yeah.
Not good.
Yeah.
And I think it's because you talked about they put more water on.
Right.
It was really hot on Saturday, and I think they put more water on the racetrack than they normally would. And for the first time ever at Knoxville, I fell on my butt. Getting across the track.
Well, there you go. I want to welcome a new listener to the show, Sherry. TJ Imperial's mother is listening to the show. Tammy is checked in. She said, no Knoxville for me this year. My husband and son are flying out early Wednesday morning from Philadelphia to Des Moines for their second Knoxville Nationals. Tammy, we only wish that you were showing up as well.
Yeah, we'd love to meet you.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, she's such a great supporter of the show and always listens every day. It's going to be a kind of a bummer not to get to meet Tammy. She's such a great supporter of Mostly Motorsports. Let me ask you this. Who was the biggest disappointment out of all the drivers that made the A main on Saturday night? Was it Blackjack Brian Brown? He ran sixth. He started fifth. He ran sixth. Is he the biggest disappointment? Because a lot of people picked Brian Brown to win that race, right?
Yeah, and I was very amazed when Brian said that they had changed something on that car during hot. They tried something different. I'm thinking to myself, the way he ran on Friday night, leave it alone. It was working. So I don't know what they changed on that race car, but he wasn't nearly as good on Saturday night as he was dominating on Friday night.
Is he the biggest disappointment, Austin, or is it Kyle Larson, who started 16th and ran 11th? Is he the biggest disappointment, or is it Brian Brown?
I think you could probably give it to Brownie.
Yeah.
You know, he was one of the, you know, handful of favorites that we had going into it, and, you know, after his, you know, pretty dominating run on Friday night, we, we assumed he'd back that up, you know, on Saturday. I just, you know, I really don't think, you know, Brown had a car, you know, that was going to be good on that heavy of a track.
Yeah.
You know, and it showed. You know, it's just, it's kind of disappointing. You know, I think he, you know, like I said, he was one of the favorites, and it just kind of sucks when they throw a curveball at you and you're not really prepared for it. But, yeah, you know, this could be all different if Ward Brown started fifth. You know, yeah. What if he starts on the front row? You know, does he get the clean air and just walk away with it?
Right.
Or, you know, is he stuck, you know, back in the dirty air, you know, running fifth and sixth and just doesn't have a chance to go forward? But, you know, I say that, and you look at Sam, and Sam goes from seventh to second. Just kind of shows, you know.
I can't see Austin. I like to see your face when you're talking.
Yeah, well, I was looking at a paper. I forgot to hit button. Yeah, I mean, just that you can write that off on just having a car that's, you know, not that great when it's that heavy.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, you get Reitzel, you put him on the front row like that, and there's no yellow flags. He's going to be hard to beat.
Who was the biggest overachiever of the weekend in the 360 A main on Saturday night? Leighton Jeffrey? I don't know. Linton Jeffrey? That's what I meant to say. Who would you think was the overachiever of the night? Anybody? Can you pick one driver that you think overachieved maybe a little bit more than he should have?
I think I have one I could give that to. That'd be probably Chase Randall.
Ah.
First ever time running the Nationals. First full year at Knoxville.
Started 18th, run 9th.
Yeah, I mean, he's a hard charger, and he picked up the Rookie of the Year. So, you know, it's... You know, we knew he'd be a contender. You know, he's been really consistent on his weekly package and has been a, you know, top five, top ten car almost every night this year. And and it just, you know, it was going to be really interesting to see where he would stack up during the Nationals. And
was that his first 360 Nationals? Do you know?
I'm not sure.
It was because he won Rookie of the Year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, because you won Rookie of the Year. You haven't ran there before, right?
So, yeah, I mean, I think you give it to Randall and just, you know, he was the one. I feel like, you know, you could call Aaron a local, but I don't really know if that fits him that well. But
he's Clute, Texas guy. He's not really a local, is he?
Well, Chase Randall's a local. No, I'm talking about who races there weekly.
Aaron Reitzel lives in Knoxville.
Yeah, but, you know, he races there almost every week, but, you know, he does leave. But guys that are committed to it, you know, besides Clint Gardner finishing third, he was the other local, Brown in six, but he was really the only other true local in the top ten.
Yeah, yep. I would agree with Austin there. Chase Randall, obviously that guy, and I don't think it's even a close call where he started in that feature event and where he finished, starting in 18th and finishing in the top 10. Obviously, he was the guy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It was a huge advantage for Aaron Reitzel to start on the front row outside, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Big time.
Especially with no yellow flags.
Yeah. And he picks up an extra $15,000 for leading every lap.
Every lap. $30,000 he walked out of
there.
Did
we talk about this a little bit? It seems like in my mind that we might have talked about this just for a moment. That did we mention what were the chances of this race going green, white, checkered? Did we talk about that, Austin?
We talked about that on Saturday. I said there was, you guys said there was probably one red and a handful of yellows. Yeah. I said one yellow.
Yeah. No yellows. No reds.
And
are you shocked?
Very shocked. And Reitzel set a new track record for the 30-lap feature, running at 9 minutes and 3 seconds.
That's incredible.
No kidding. Wow.
That's for any class, right? 410 or 360, right?
No, that should be for the 360. That's for the 360 stats.
Yeah.
I mean, that's as quick a 30-lap feature as I've ever seen up there.
Austin can probably look it up and find the track record for the 410s on the fastest feature they ever ran, because he's got the fastest thumbs in the West. My guy back there, Austin O'Neill, does. Austin, would you have ran the 360 Nationals if your motor would have been ready? Would you have ran it?
There's a possibility I would have.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Tough assignment, though, isn't it?
So, the last time they have... Okay, so for the 410s, for 30 laps...
Can you pull that up on the screen?
Yeah, 1 second here. Steve Kinzer holds it. It was set on August 15th, 1992, at 9 minutes flat. Nine minutes and half a second.
So that's quicker than the one on Saturday night.
Yes, by about 3 seconds.
3 seconds, that's it. That's the only difference.
Yep.
How about that?
And I was set back in, I was almost...
30 years ago.
That was 30 years ago.
My goodness. Steve Kinzer, right?
Yes.
That was, he was in the midst of going five in a row at that time. He was a 12-time national champion, and 92 was his second of five straight Knoxville Nationals at that time.
Yeah. Wow. How about that? Chad said, good morning from Knoxville. Chad, I didn't get a chance to see you. I was hoping to run into some of the people that listen to Mostly Motorsports.
I ran into a few.
Did you?
Yeah.
What'd they say?
They said we listen all the time.
They do?
Yeah. Probably a half a dozen people told me that.
Really?
Yeah. They listen to your show.
Wow. How about that? I appreciate you sitting in today, Kirk. Before we get off the topic of the 360 Nationals, how would you grade the weekend out? Can we grade it out over the course of the entire weekend? What would you give it, Austin? What kind of grade? A, B, C, D, F. What would you give it? I know it's tough.
That's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
You know, I thought overall, between the prelim nights, I felt like that was a pretty good, two nights of prelim racing, and Saturday was just, maybe a touch under that. So I would give them about a B. I wasn't too disappointed with it.
I was thinking the same thing.
Hold on. Before we go any further, why is a B the grade? Why not above a B? Give me some examples of the reason why.
Just you look at the track that they gave them on Saturday. It was, like we talked about it, they, overwatered it, and, you make a mistake like that every once in a while, and it just, you didn't get to see, a lot of guys, run the soup.
You think it held them back
I think
bit.
It did. You see guys, you're going to start, 20th, and if you transfer through the C, D, or the D, C, and B and all that, it's going to be tough no matter what. Then you add a one-lane heavier track on it. It just makes it even tougher, and it really just, it just comes down to starting, on the first couple rows of those races. And
it's so important to get up there towards the front, isn't it?
Yeah.
Clean air.
It is, and, yeah. I think, maybe I might be wrong if it wasn't as heavy, but... we've seen guys, kind of charge through the field on other tracks. So, that's the only reason why I would give it that grade.
Yeah. Kirk?
Yeah, I would agree with that. It'd be because the Saturday night, we didn't see passes for the lead. We didn't see, back and forth.
No challenge.
That we normally see.
No challenges.
But I can't criticize them for overwatering the racetrack. As hot as it was, the wind was blowing. I think they had to put more water on it than normal.
I kind of agree with you on that. Yeah.
So, it was as hot as I can ever remember being.
It's so hot we got to push the start times back.
Well, they did. 1 hour.
Yeah.
They didn't even start hot laps till 7:45, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So, no, it was a good show. The quality of the competition was as good as it's ever been. Car count was as high as we've ever seen it.
Right.
And great crowds. Crowds were up. And so, all in all, it was a great 360 Nationals.
Ayrton Jennington did pretty good, didn't he, Bud? He started sixth, he ran eighth, but he still got a top 10 finish with 360 Nationals. That's not a bad run for him, is it?
No, I thought it was. It was a good weekend. You think he would have liked to have gone forward, but look at the guys that he's racing against, and those are kind of 360 guys. Clint Gardner, Reitzel. It's kind of breaking that mold,
right?
But still, has ran forever in a 360. Same with Sam, and And, you know, and that's what T-Mac's running this year. So, you know, with Ayrton not running a whole lot of races with the 360 and to come to that event, you know, with that competition and and finish where he finished, I felt like that was a, you know, a pretty good weekend for him.
I got to say this, and I'm with Dave Tyson on this. That was probably the largest crowd I've seen for the 360 Nationals. And I'll tell you this. And, you know, we're in the North Campground. Our motorhome's up there in the North Campground. It's still there. We're going back this week. But the North Campground seemed to fill up a lot earlier this year than it has in years past. Well, Kirk, when you showed up, didn't you notice a lot more motorhomes and campers and whatnot in the North Campground than years past when you get there?
Seemed to be, although they're, you know, they're more going to pack it in this week. But, yeah, I would agree with you. I think there was more than we've seen in the past. Had a great crowd for the Capitani last night, too.
So. I'm kind of like Dave here. He gives it a B+, A-. I'm going to give it a B+. And the only reason I'm not going to give it an A is because the lack of passing for the lead.
Yeah.
That's the one thing. I think if you're going to have an exceptional A main, you got to have two or three passes for the lead.
But it was still a pretty good show.
I thought it was pretty good.
I was satisfied.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Cappy last night and that race. That's all next right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back with more right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three 9-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. It's Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Kirk Elliott sitting in with us today. It's a Monday. There's a lot to talk about, and we always like Kirk sitting in with us on Mondays and Fridays whenever he has a chance to do so. Austin O'Neill, the best producer in sprint car racing, hanging out with us here today. Kirk Elliott, we have some sound that you retrieved during the 360 Nationals. Should we play that now?
Yeah, why don't we play Aaron Reitzel's soundbite from Saturday night after he wins his first 360 Knoxville Nationals, and here's what he had to say after his big win. $30,000 he nice. Pocketed for that victory on Saturday night.
Anytime you're fast here, it's a plus. This is a hard place to be fast at and get a hold of, and I almost feel like a little bit having being so good here so early kind of hurt us, because then we're kind of, I think we overthought things a little bit, but you know, all in all, we still put ourselves in a good position, and the race just played out perfect for us, where it went green to checkered, and I felt like I was able to just set my own pace and try to get in lap traffic and hide a little bit.
Kirk, I appreciate you getting that sound, bud.
And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
He just set his own pace. It made it easy. With there's no yellow flags in that race, it made it really easy for Aaron Reitzel just to kind of set sail.
Let me ask you, do you think for a second that Aaron Reitzel was thinking about that lap money leading every lap, and if he led every lap, it's an extra $15,000 bonus? Do you think he was thinking about that when he was out there in the lead? Yes or no?
I would say, yeah, it had to cross his mind, did it not?
Austin,
what do you think, Austin? You're a driver.
You think it came to mind during that race or at any point that if I lead every lap, that's an extra $15,000?
I think it crossed his mind.
He got in the car?
Well, yeah, you know what's up at stakes. You know what you can do. But, you know, I think, you know, in that position, you know, you fire off for the green, and
right. And
you're just focused on getting out the clean air and not making any mistakes. And then once you ride around for, you know, so long, you know that you don't have a whole lot of pressure. And some guys can look at the big screen up in 304 and see if they got a big enough lead. And you know, I bet you maybe with 10 to go, it crossed his mind that, holy crap, I just led 20 laps of this thing. I just picked up I don't know how much money that would equal out to. And
was it?
I could
was
possibly
it 500 a lap? Was it or something like that?
I believe so. I mean,
I think it was.
So yeah, I mean, I think it probably crossed his mind into later stages of the race that I can actually, you know, do this and make a pretty good payday.
Yeah,
had a lot of great lap sponsors to make that all happen.
Boy,
on Saturday night, that's a huge payday for 360s and
right.
a couple of Texans. I thought maybe Sam, I don't know. He said he thought Sam was back there, but he didn't seem real concerned that he was going to lose the lead to him, but you never know.
Let me just say this about Aaron Reitzel. There's probably not a guy more confident behind the wheel than Aaron Reitzel. Would anybody disagree with me on that? Listen, every driver's confident when they get in a car. But Aaron Reitzel's got a little bit of he's a little cocky, right? And he knows he's good. Listen, Aaron Reitzel is about one of the best drivers in the country. He went down. He won the 2015 Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour Championship. He leaves the National Tour and goes and runs with the All-Stars. And in his rookie year, he wins the championship with the All-Stars. Now, the guy's got uber talent, right? Anybody disagree with
and
me?
And he's confident.
That?
But so is Sam.
Very confident. Very
Sam
confident.
Haverty's a confident guy, too, is he not?
Sam's confident, but I think... Austin, who would you think is more confident, Aaron Reitzel or Sam Haverty?
Aaron, and you can... And it, you can
his
just,
swagger is different, isn't it?
Aaron walks different than anybody else does.
Yeah.
Aaron's just...
And we know Sam's confident.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Sam, when you're at the races and you look at, Aaron and you look at Sam, they're pretty close. But, there's just, Aaron's...
He's got a swagger.
He does. And Aaron's not going to put up with anything. And neither is Sam. But, Aaron's just more of that... I don't know how to really put it in the words, but
Aaron's more in your face. Yeah. Sam is not.
Yeah, I would agree with
that's,
that.
That's pretty, right? Yep, that's yep. Probably the best you could describe it.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. All right, let's talk a little bit about last night's Capitani Classic that ran last night. Logan Schuchart beats Donnie Schott, and Aaron Reitzel comes home third. Did anybody think that Schatz was going to win that race at some point? I thought he was going to win it. Didn't you guys think, the way he ran him down, didn't you think for a second there that Schatz was going to win that race last night? Anybody else?
I thought so, sure. It's Donnie Schatz, for crying out
right.
loud. Yeah, I thought he had a chance to get around Logan Schuchart for the win.
He's won
absolutely.
He's won the Knoxville Nationals 10 times?
Ten times.
Is this the year that he wins the 11th one? Can he do it this year?
Sure he can.
Austin?
I think so. I think he has a legitimate shot. You look at, when he's... I think it was about Nationals time last year with the Ford that they got really fast. He finally, he almost won it last year. If the rubber doesn't really come in, I think maybe he has a shot, or if the halfway break goes a little different, he has a shot. And he was fast at the end of last year. And then they were fast at Fallujah this year and kind of struggled. And then here about a month or two ago, they got really good. And the only thing that they're having to work on, all the cars are good. They've been with J&J forever, it feels like. But with the Ford, he's mentioned it a couple of times, it makes so much power that now they're kind of chasing the car on how to get it to work. And
get it hooked up.
They've shown that here recently. And they've really shown it at... Weed Sport was really slick and was going to be a hard place to get a hold of, and he won. So, that shows that he can get it hooked up in those conditions. And, you come to Knoxville last night where, it's a big, fast half mile where you're going to need as much power as you can get, add in a good track. And it was just the perfect recipe to really show how good the Ford is right now. And,
right.
I was looking at the lineup and I was, seeing Donnie roll off, in the fourth row, and you never can count those guys out, but
never.
With the way the track was, I figured it would be kind of, a clean air race, and it was kind of like that, but, the field kind of got spread out, and then it was just, Donnie could get by a car and have clean air for a lap or two, then, right. back to another car, and I felt like that's, what he needed to have happen to him to have a shot at winning the race.
How lucky was Logan Schuchart when he ran over Brady Bacon?
That I thought that was kind of.
I thought it was over at that point, didn't
yeah,
you?
I thought he got up into the wall. How did it not?
How did it not break his car? Didn't he run over? He ran over the left, the right rear, and didn't he bounce off the wall
The wall, yeah.
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 How does his car survive that incident right there with Brady Bacon?
He just got really lucky he backed his pace down so much trying to avoid him.
You think he was on the brakes that
hard?
Oh, yeah.
You could see the video of him checked up. And, when he got to Brady and he hit Brady, he wasn't, rolling, but, quarter speed it looked like. And it just was enough to pick up the front end and kind of toss it over. And the front ends, they can take, a pretty good beating before they get hurt. Maybe it might have, depending on on what style of you know, maybe radius rods or rod ends he has, like, up on the front end. Maybe it,
but he was so lucky.
It knocked the front end over to the left a little bit. But not, I mean, look, let me pull the video up right here. They just got to it on the highlights. And
right,
you know,
there, boom.
You could just see it wasn't that hard of a hit, and he wasn't going that fast.
He didn't monster truck his right rear.
No, he got really lucky, and that's it. It really wasn't the break Donnie needed,
right?
But it was kind of the break, you know, Logan needed, because at that point Donnie showed Logan where he needed to be on that following restart. It was probably the best textbook move I've seen in a while. You know, Logan knew the bottom was good, and if he went to the middle like he was, or the bottom, you know, he wouldn't have had a whole lot of momentum, you know, off of two,
right.
And it would have kind of left Donnie, you know, with the big run off the top. But he just entered low enough to kind of block the middle and force Donnie to the top, but carry the momentum to the slider line to the cushion,
right,
and have about the same momentum as Donnie, but have better, you know, track position in front of him, and that's pretty much what he needed to do to kind of ride Donnie Schatz's chance, you know, out of winning. And, you know, look, it just put about, you know, 5, 6, 7 car lengths between the two, and Donnie could never get to him in the last 5 laps.
Right.
You know, Schwartz had some good finishes at the Knoxville Nationals over the last several years. He was a hard charger. 1 year he came from the back and got himself up into the top 10. So he's had a history of running well at the Nationals. So
yeah.
I don't think this is a one-off last night for Schuart. He's a real player this weekend. I believe that.
No, I agree with that. But he was so lucky when that incident happened.
No doubt.
And I'm like Austin. You could tell that he got on the brakes. He didn't monster truck that right rear that bad. And it's hard to tell how hard he even got into the wall does it look like he got into the wall? Can we play that back again?
He did get into the wall, but he just kind of grazed it.
Yeah, it was maybe enough just to scratch the wheel cover and the wheel half on both right side wheels. It wasn't nothing to really do any damage. And if it did, it maybe knocked the sway bar, you know, radius rod, you know, out of alignment, or it maybe might have hurt, you know, one of the rod ends. But besides that, you know, like I said, the front ends are pretty tough in these things, and they can take that hit with ease.
Brad Sweet, he ran fourth last night. He started seventh. Was anybody disappointed with Brad Sweet's effort last night?
No, I thought he had a pretty solid effort. He came in with a lot of confidence after winning at Peabody on Saturday night. He's a former Knoxville Nationals winner. He won this race in 2018. And I think his car is running better than it has all season long. He's picked up a couple of wins now over the last couple of weeks after not winning for a long time. He's led the points this whole time, but he just hasn't been at the top of his game. I just feel like in the last couple of weeks, he's really stepped it up a ton. And he's coming in here with a lot of confidence, too, that he can pick up his second Nationals win.
Parker Price Miller ran fifth. Tyler Courtney ran sixth. Those two don't really care much for each other, I don't think.
No, that's so I hear. Yeah. Those two guys don't like each other.
I don't think they're on good terms right now.
Yeah, Tyler Courtney, he's a Kings Royal winner a year ago. Can he come in and get a good finish at Knoxville at a place that he still looking for a lot of success here, but he's going to be in a fast race car. And here's another guy that really hadn't been at the top of his game in the All-Star Series, but he's stepped it up here over the last couple of weeks.
Yep. Tammy, she chimes in. She says, not a Schatz fan, but he is slowly but surely getting Knoxville Nationals ready. Don't forget he finishes second to Larson last year. No, we were just talking about that a little bit.
Sure.
Let me ask you this. If Donnie Schatz wins his 11th Knoxville Nationals, will the place explode? Do you feel like people are starting to pull for Donnie? You know how bad people were against him over the course when he was really successful? People booed him all the time. Do you feel like the fans right now are starting to come back to Donnie Schatz because he hasn't been winning as much? Do you feel like the fans are coming towards him a little bit more? Yes or no, Austin?
Yeah, I think they miss seeing Donnie dominate, and you know, I definitely think I think people have missed seeing Donnie at the top and miss hating a winner, and
everybody loves to hate a winner, don't they?
Yeah, so I think that's a pretty good reason. And I think maybe with the passing of Danny's father, that maybe it's changed some people's opinions on them, and maybe they are just gonna kind of side with Donnie more or from now on, and change their opinion about him. But yeah, I think I think it's a combination of a couple things.
If you're at the Hall of Fame this week, do us a favor and go into the theater on the second floor and watch that movie 15 about Donnie Schatz.
It's excellent.
It is worth your time. I did that yesterday, and it is you may have a different opinion of Donnie Schatz after you watch that movie than
Tell
you
us,
might have had before.
Hold on. Now, you can't say that, Kirk, without giving us a little insight of why you feel that way.
There were just a lot of people on there that talked about Donnie in ways that may surprise you. Donnie is, he's not
give
as
me an,
open.
Give me an example, Kurt.
I'm not gonna get into specifics on this other than to say that there were a lot of people on that movie that gave testimony about Donnie Schatz that you may not have known. Donnie is not an open guy. He doesn't let his feelings out a lot.
Right.
And a lot of times he's hard to get to know. But once you see all these people, and I can't get down to one or two because there were so many
right.
that testified about Donnie on this movie, that you're going to walk out of there thinking, I didn't really know Donnie Schatz all that well.
Right.
And I think you get to know him a lot better. It's in the movie theater up there in the second floor of the Hall of Fame. Check it out. It's
yeah.
worth your time.
Yeah, Dave Tyson said the same thing. Go to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and check it out. It's going on right now as we speak. You don't need a reason to go to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum.
No.
Caleb,
I spent the whole afternoon up there yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Caleb chimes in. He says, we need Donnie to stay relevant. He is good for the sport. He is good for competition and leads by example as a positive racer. No one likes when someone completely dominates. That's the truth, right?
Yeah, and they
nobody loves it when somebody is just stomping a mud hole in their, you know what?
They didn't like Steve Kinzer when he did it, so it's nobody likes to dominate that much. And it's been 5 years since Donnie Schatz has won the Nationals. He in that classic battle with Kyle Larson
right.
in 2017, but he still runs fast. He's not winning as many races as he used to, but. He's still a player.
Hey, Austin, did you see that little package they put together on Steve Kinzer during the broadcast last night? Did you watch that?
I missed that part.
Oh, man, it's really good.
I'll go back and look at it. I didn't see it.
Listen, there's only one king. It's Steve Kinzer, right? It was kind of sad to see him not run as good as he normally did at the end of his career. But there was nobody more dominant than Steve Kinzer. 20 World of Outlaw championships. Donnie Schatz has 10. Will anybody ever win 20?
No.
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 Not a chance.
The competition's changed so much since that was...
Too fierce now, right?
Yeah, back then you had a handful of good cars that could win every night. Now you got almost... The whole field has a shot every night, so
yeah,
or the whole
point.
Field of the feature. So, it's times have changed, and it's kind of like look at. I'll give another example that could relate to this is, Dale Sr. and Richard Petty. You don't see really anybody besides, maybe a Jimmy Johnson who can be like a
right.
Donnie Schatz right now do that, and they only got. Halfway somewhat there. So, yeah, it's just competition's got so good now, and everybody has the same equipment and has the same shot at winning every night. It's just
The competition is just fierce right now. Right.
I've got that soundbite from Logan Schuart if you want to hear
it. Yeah, go ahead and play it, Kurt.
Logan Schuart winning the Capitani Classic last night, and here's what he thought about that battle with Schatz there.
I didn't feel good, so I just kind of just riding around, and then finally when my right rear started heating up, the car started going forward, and I just rolled that bottom. I was good down there. I could just roll in there and stay right on, catch that moisture on exit, and I could get a heck of a run towards the end, but there for a while, I think I felt like I was just a sitting duck, but that just shows you just got to keep at it, and sometimes races are won right there at the end like we did, and we've been trying hard for a super race, and we finally got one, so it definitely feels good.
There it is.
Yeah. Well, that has to feel good. To outrun a guy like Donnie Schatz?
Yeah, it's always a good day when that happens.
Doesn't that give you a little extra boost? Knowing that Donnie's got his stuff together right now, right? Don't you feel when you outrun somebody, knowing that their program is relevant again, doesn't that give you a boost of confidence when you outrun a guy like that? Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, it's not a two-car race. You're racing against 23 other cars, and you know, they're all good. And when you can beat all of them, that's, you know, better than just beating one guy. Because I think that, you know, the way Donnie's been going, that definitely adds a little bit to it.
Yeah.
But anytime you can beat that field up there at Knoxville and do it in that kind of a fashion, I think, you know, and winning in general is just gonna, you know, be a great confidence booster for yourself, no matter the situation.
You know, we were talking about the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, the great track tribute that's going on right now. And I know you were up there, Kirk, as well as me. They've got a great track tribute going on right now for Ascot Park. It was in Gardena, California. It's going to be going on through October 1st. They've got videos, driver uniforms, helmets, memorabilia, cars. Man, is that a great exhibit, Kurt?
Oh, man, it's awesome. And there's two videos, especially, there's a lot of videos up there.
Yeah.
But two especially you want to watch. A great interview with Ronnie Schumann and Leland McSpadden.
Yeah.
And then the other video is the features about Jimmy Oskey, one of the top drivers at Ascot Park back in the day.
The only unrestored car in that display was the Jimmy Oskey car.
Right. Yeah. And somebody, a news reporter, did a news story on Jimmy Oskey out there, one of the Los Angeles area TV stations back in the day when Oskey was doing his thing. And that's worth watching, too, the feature report that this news reporter did on Jimmy Oskey. So,
my favorite one is J.C. Agajanian Jr. talking about his dad and Evel Knievel. Evel Knievel came in and wanted to jump 15 cars on Wild World of Sports.
Yeah.
That was a great, great interview. So you need to get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and check it out. While you're up there, maybe buy a raffle ticket for the 2022 Triple X Mole Racing Engine. Kirk, did you buy the tickets yesterday?
Yes, sir. We've got the raffle tickets.
How many tickets did you buy? 200?
I can't remember now.
I thought we
bought some tickets.
I thought we agreed.
Whatever we agreed to, we got.
200. So, I think we were going to buy 200 tickets.
There you go.
Right?
So we did that. And also, then I personally bought some raffle tickets. Now, I'd have to sell the car if I won it.
Right. But if you win it and we don't, I'm going to be pissed.
Or maybe we just give it to Austin. He can race it.
No, we're not giving it to Austin. We're going to put it in the old Racing Boys garage, and me and you will share driving it. How's that?
Oh, my God. You won't see me behind the wheel of that thing.
You drove a Ferrari, Kirk.
Yeah. A sprint car? You're talking about...
At Kansas Speedway. You drove a Ferrari one time.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Yeah.
Why would you not want to drive this Corvette?
The Corvette, yes. not the sprint car. The Corvette, yes.
Okay,
I'd want
yeah.
And is that a great color, that Corvette? I love that color of that car.
That's a special kind of gray.
Yeah, that is awesome.
That's a really cool car. Don't forget, they also have a raffle going on for the IMSA GT LMA Championship Edition C8R Corvette. They'll be drawing this Saturday, August 13th.
Night.
They will be drawing the raffle ticket. Remember, This is only one of 1,000 Corvettes that are made like this. This is a real race car, folks. I saw one online for sale for $150,000. We saw one at Barrett Jackson go for $300,000. Plus, they're going to give you $25,000 in cash to help pay for the taxes on it as well. Again, this is a very unique Corvette. That's an IMSA GT LM Championship Edition C8R Corvette. Again, they're going to be drawing this Saturday, August 13th. And if you can't make it in person to Knoxville for this weekend's events, you can always go online at Corvette, the letter C, the number 8, the letter R, contest.com. That's Corvette, C8R, contest.com. And if you want to buy a raffle ticket for the Sprint Car as well, you can do that at SprintCarRaffle.com.
And they draw for that in December.
And that's going to be December 16th, yeah. Right. So that's going to be a lot of fun. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more of Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back here in the Racing Boys studio in a minute. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. It's Mostly Motorsports. We've been talking Mostly Motorsports today. Kirk, you were out at Lakeside Speedway on Friday night. While Burke picked up the win at the Weld Memorial at Lakeside Speedway. How'd that go? That was a trying night, wasn't
that
it?
That was a exciting night.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of really spectacular crashes. Yeah. One of which involved Don Drowd Jr., who won his first heat race earlier that night. He had a really good chance of winning that race. He's won at Lakeside before. Yeah. On the first lap, going into turn number three, he goes flying way high and out of the racetrack. I mean, it reminded me of some of the visions I saw at Knoxville back in the day with cars flying out of the track.
Kirk. Out of the racetrack, three and four?
Turn three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cleared the wall
outside the racetrack, and he got way high.
They don't have a fence up around the wall down there in three and four.
No.
Yeah. And then Xavier Doney, he took out a ton of fence down there in one and two, didn't he?
He was running third at the time, and then he got up into the fence in a pretty spectacular fashion. Fortunately, those drivers walked away. Cody Baker got upside down. He really was the one guy that had something for Wyatt Burks. And he got upside down while running second.
That was a horrible wreck. Holy cow. Don Drowd Jr., that was nasty.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't realize he hit the end of the wall.
Yes.
So, and that was on the first lap, right?
On the opening lap of the race.
On the opening lap of the race. Is this a replay of that?
Awesome. Yes. You got it right there.
Just check out how he hits the end of this wall. Oh, my gosh. He is so lucky he didn't get hurt there. Now, I'm telling you, so many people. Your dad's one of them, isn't he? Didn't your dad hit the end of that wall one time?
Yes. Austin? I'm just surprised that the Outlaws continue to go back to Lakeside, because from what I've been told from sources that I, you know, everybody wants an outlaw race at Moberly, right?
Yeah.
The Outlaws refuse to go there because it doesn't have a fence all the way around it. Now, Lakeside has about half a fence covering the whole track, you know, front stretch through one and two.
Right. But
a little in
three and four. Yeah.
I'm still surprised that they have the okay by the Outlaws to continue to come back, because, you know, you get some of these big events down there, and where Don landed, if there's a full field, I mean, there's teams that park down there. So you definitely, and even if he would have hit the hole into three and went out, you know, kind of, you know, like entry in the corner, it would have been even worse that there was someone parked down there. So he was kind of back on the access road. But, you know, I'm still surprised that, you know, the Outlaws haven't said nothing to him to have that fixed. But, yeah, definitely, I think it's the first sprint car to maybe hit that opening.
Yeah.
And it was just pretty much a ramp. They have so much dirt and tractor tires around it that, you know, it's better than hitting an open end of the wall or a flat end of the wall. But still, I mean, he went for a wild ride.
I've seen more than one person life-flighted out of that racetrack because of that wall there at the end. In fact, the first time anybody ever hit that wall, I was racing in that race. I was right behind Buzz Caster. Buzz Caster got turned into the wall, hit it sideways, flipped upside down, came down in between one of the signs that was there at the time, and gas was leaking out of the car, and he ran out of that car. That was the first time that had happened. And then I was involved in an accident, and I turned a driver into the wall by accident, and Alan Lawrence is who it was, And he had to get life-lighted out of there that night. And I'm telling you, it was all I could do to go back out on that racetrack that. You remember that night?
Yeah. And you remember when they had the, like, a pit side grandstand down in turn number four, and Billy Veilhauer went clear over that grandstand and out into the area of the pit area?
That's when they removed those grandstands.
Yeah.
Because in the day, when we raced pavement there, when Lakeside was a pavement track, that was not a concern. Nobody ever worried about a car flying over the. But when that sprint car flew over, he not only did he fly over those grandstands, but he flew over a Jeep that was laying down there as well, if you remember right.
That was a scary deal.
That was a very
scary deal. And Xavier Doney's wreck on Friday night, too, was pretty frightening, because there was a lot of people on that hillside over there. The, you know, where they come in and park, and
the fence did its job.
It did.
Yeah, that's the key to that. They have two fences over there, don't they?
Yes.
Over in turn one and two.
Right.
So the chances of him actually going through that fence
is
and getting to spectators.
Yeah.
Yes, very slim. But yeah, I've seen it, but that fence just fell apart like paper mache. I mean, it was kind of an odd wreck the way the car rolled into it.
At Lakeside Friday night?
Yeah, that thing, it was down to nothing.
Were you there?
No, I seen pictures of it. I seen up close, pictures of it. But
it knocked a big hole in it, didn't it?
Yeah, they sat under red for almost 35, 40 minutes.
They captured the video of that as well, did they not?
Yeah, I can pull it up.
Can you get that, Austin? Oh, there it is right there.
That's where they fixed it.
Yeah. So we'll take a look at that. And Doney wasn't hurt, though, right?
No
driver Doney's was pride hurt. Was hurt. That's the third car in
Boy, they've tore up some
weeks.
Stuff lately.
I mean, he tore a lot of stuff up at Indiana Sprint Week.
Right. Well, let's see if we can find it.
I wonder if they caught
the wreck.
They did catch the wreck. I know they did.
There it is right there. Yeah. Holy cow, man. He got up there, didn't he?
How many wild, spectacular
crashes? Back that
crashes
up again. I want to see that again, Austin.
How many wild, spectacular crashes has Xavier Doney been involved in? That wreck he took up at Houston Speedway, that was pretty wild.
Yeah, he's went through some equipment in the past month or so.
Yeah, he really has.
And that was a brand new car. That was the first night on it, too.
Oh it was? For this car here?
Yep.
I wonder if it bent the frame on it.
I'm not sure. I know they got it fixed I saw a post on Facebook. They got it fixed for this weekend, but yeah,
they raced it Saturday night at Nevada, did they not? Wesley Smith won.
They probably
have
more than one car, though, don't they?
Well, actually, so during Indiana Sprint Week, he crashed their primary car, hurt it at Lawrenceburg, and then had to pull the backup car out, which was actually their wing car, had to convert it over to a non-wing car, crashed that one. And then had this car. So I don't know what their program looks like, but I know they're
well funded.
They're well funded, but they went through some cars here recently.
Yeah, no doubt. Dan Lawson owns that car. Dan's got a little bit of money. He's doing just fine in business wise. While Burke ended up winning that race, Jack Wagner was second. Wesley Smith was third. Chris Morgan was fourth, and Chris Parkinson ended up rounding out the top five.
And then Saturday night at Nevada, Wesley Smith picks up the feature win. And I don't see Xavier Doney's name listed on the results down at Nevada on Saturday night.
He didn't go.
Probably a good idea not to.
Yeah.
Probably rattled his bell a little bit, wouldn't you think? That was a pretty major hit right there.
Yeah, he definitely... I mean, that's probably one of the fastest parts of the track at that point.
Yeah, because you're coming off the big sweeping corner of 3 and 4, and you got a lot of speed right there, and you're getting down into that corner at a good pace.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. And he carried plenty of momentum to the wall. He got the right rear over the cushion, and at that point, the cushion was the wall, and it just sucked him right on in.
Jack Wagner was the hard charger. He started 17th and ran second. How about that?
Yeah, he's had some good runs in that
pretty
car.
Solid finish right there. Yeah,
no doubt about it.
Yeah. The old 77 car is getting around pretty good right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it always has been.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Jack is a little more hands-off of that right now than he was in years past.
I didn't see Jack on Friday night out at Lakeside. Was he even there?
I don't know.
I walked down.
I wasn't there, Kirk.
I walked down to where they pitted the car, and I just didn't happen to see Jack. He might have been there, but I just didn't see him stand. Normally, he stands around.
Jack
down
usually
by the car.
Likes to drive a push truck, doesn't he? Yeah, no doubt.
I enjoy that's. I always, you know, people kind of overlook the push truck drivers, and
oh my gosh,
you know,
they're so important.
They are, and I always. You get some of these guys that you go to places that, you know, we've been with the sprint car that have no idea what sprint car racing really is and what it takes to get us going. And, you know, it's one of the most vital parts. And whenever you can get somebody that knows what a driver needs, it's not a hard job to do, but, you know, it's pretty important. And just to have someone there that knows what's going on just makes a driver's life so much easier.
Yeah,
it's like a big job, but yeah, whenever you can just not run somebody over, it's nice.
Yep, no doubt. All right, well, thanks everybody for tuning in to Mostly Motorsports here again today. We'll do it all over again tomorrow. We hope that you'll join us. I've put a message in to Aaron Reitzel. We're not sure exactly what day he's going to come on, but I'm pretty confident that he's going to come on one day this week. And we'll figure out what day that's going to be. For Kirk Elliott, well, yeah, Kirk, what do you want to say?
Just one other thing. The 305 Belleville Nationals.
Yeah.
Steven Richardson came from 22nd to the lead and then weighed too light after he apparently
won that race.
And he weighed in too light at the scales. They handed the win to Ty Williams for the 305 Nationals. So I thought that was pretty
And John Carney won on the prelim night, right?
He did.
Yeah.
Luke Cranston led all the way up until the final lap, and he ended up third. And Ty Williams able to get around him.
And Luke was second on the prelim night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to throw that in.
Yeah. It's 305.
Yeah. But it's Belleville, too. So
it is Belleville.
On the big half mile.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the show. I want to thank you so much. I want to also thank our great supporters, Lucas Oil Products. It works. Just check them out. Anytime, just go to lucasoil.com. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner, Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports, 12 noon Central Time. We hope that you'll join us then.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.